Father, I thank you for all that you have done so far in this gathering, all that you did to prepare us for this moment. Everything you said to us, everything you did with us and in us in our personal time before we came, every word that we heard before we got here. Thank you for making us ready for you. And so, Father, I thank you that what you've given me to say, that I first have received it myself. And I thank you, Lord, that I will speak it with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Holy Spirit, you're my best friend. You have permission to think through my mind and speak through my lips. I thank you that your word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Jesus, we give you glory in advance. Signs, wonders, and miracles as a result of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you something. So you can understand what I just prayed at the end of that prayer, that signs, wonders, and miracles as a result of the word preached. Because in Galatians, chapter 3, Pastor Deborah. If you can get there before I turn there, that'd be good, because my pages are sticking. I think it's in Galatians chapter 3, and it might be verse 5. I'm going to read it from the King James, because that's the version I have in front of me. It says, it says this, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, and worketh, ETH, continual action, worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith. See, signs, wonders, and miracles don't occur because we had a formula or a script. They don't occur because we have this specific thing we do. Okay, we pray, we sang, and then boom, miracles happen. Miracles don't happen because we put it on Facebook. Miracles come by the hearing of faith and the hearing with faith. Now, let me explain about that word hearing. Because a lot of times we think about in Romans where it says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That Greek word in Romans for hearing talks about hearing, more understanding, and experiential hearing. This Greek word hearing here refers to hearing with your ears. You don't have to understand. As long as you hear it with your ears, now you have been propelled into the place of the miraculous. If you hear it with your ears, meaning by the fact that we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, puts you in the place for them to happen through you. You do know your covenant ensures that divine intervention happens for you. But hearing about the miraculous puts you in a place where now you can collaborate with God for the miraculous to happen through you, meaning that you can lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover, because that's what he said. And not one word falls to the ground. See, we think about the word being fulfilled, and we think about it personally. God, everything, we're good, team. I don't think I'm going to go there. We think about it personally. We like, okay, God, you're going to fulfill everything you spoke. Nothing is, no word you've spoken is going to fall short. That's true. But can we look at it from a broader kingdom perspective? Every word that God has written that you are supposed to collaborate in the performance of would not fall void. Meaning that every time he says you lay hands on the sick and they recover, you should be laying hands on the sick and they should recover. Because that written word in scripture, which is a more sure word of prophecy, would not return to him void. Are you hearing me? And so I believe we are in a space, while we are in a space of transition, I believe we are also, the whole body of Christ is in transition, not just heirs. Everybody I know is talking about transition and are making and seeking the Lord for major life-changing decisions. So it's not a happenstance that we will be in transition in the midst of the whole body of Christ being in transition. It's not strange that you can find yourself at a crossroads and are asking, Lord, which way do I go? And he's not saying nothing about what you're asking. But he has you seeking and has you in this place of trying to identify your next steps, and he really isn't uncovering it like you want to, like you want him to. But that thing is about seeking and transformation. And sometimes it's about the waiting. And it's about what God is doing in the spirit in us more than us walking out the answer. But I would tell you that this is a time of fresh outpouring, fresh fire, and the power of Holy Spirit, specifically today and from this day forward. Fresh outpourings are about experiencing, living in, and living from the more of God. During fresh outpourings, there's a prophetic fire that is released. We get excited about the fire of God. See, the fire of God is not the zeal of God without wisdom. Most people would be like, the fire of God, and they want to operate in zeal without wisdom. See, the fire of God and the prophetic fire of God is the love, the passion, the wisdom, and the boldness of Holy Spirit that's contagious. It impacts everything and everyone. It is the fire that blazes upon but never destroys. It's all-consuming, but it's not destructive to the believer. It is the space where the voice of God is heard and released. And the voice of God is inviting people to a deeper purposes and destiny are revealed in a greater way. Callings are, gifts are optimized, and strategic instructions are given. And anything not of God is removed. Even the things that served you well in previous seasons. And all things, say all things, are brought into alignment with him. This is the fire that we received. Now the scripture, the one who baptized, what? Just like he uses us to dunk you in the water, to take you in, and you know it signifies the death and the resurrection. Jesus is the one who dunks us into Holy Spirit and in fire. Can you imagine you sitting there and Jesus saying, okay, submerging you in the fire of Holy Spirit? We are also, and it may seem like an oxymoron because I talked about transition a second ago, but we are also in a time of fulfillment. We are in a time when scripture, not just the prophetic words that God has given us, but scripture is being fulfilled. You can watch the news or not even watch the news, but you can just look outside and figure out scripture is being fulfilled. Now, there is a grace and a mantle that comes upon the body of Christ, I believe, when something is being declared. Like Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets, they lived under the grace of declaration of what God was about to do in the earth, what was already settled in heaven. Then when John came, there was a different kind of grace to walk in the fulfillment of what had been declared. Let me show you that in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. And I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist. Now, this is Jesus talking to all of us. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. We know the classic Amplified talks about forceful aggression. You know, in this house, we teach about aggressive kingdom advancement. So it said, from the days of John, there began aggressive kingdom advancement. But why was that? We know because John started talking about the kingdom. The Pharisees were teaching the law, and they were teaching the prophets. Then John started saying, let me talk to you about the kingdom of what these things mean. But let me show you something else in verse 13. It says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Prophets, John. What does that mean? Entering to the stage of fulfillment. See, prophets. It's like when the scripture says you don't hope for it. Why do you hope for something that you yet see? Living in days of fulfillment. Peter said it that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I believe we are in a this is that kind of moment. That was spoken of. This is that. But what is it? What is the that this is? Look at John chapter 16. John 16, verse 8. Wait, why would it be advantageous for Jesus to go away? Since. And I'm sure they were probably thinking it, but didn't want to get rebuked like Peter did when he was saying, no, you wasn't going to go to the cross. So they was like, listen, I'm going to keep my mouth closed because he ain't checking me. But it's like, why, Jesus? How is it advantageous? You're the Son of God. You're walking the earth. You're multiplying loaves and fish. You're healing everywhere you go. People touch you and get healed. People touch your clothes and get healed. You're speaking the words of life. Why is it advantageous for you to go? Then he says, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The advantage that we have, and it's to our benefit, is that Holy Spirit is here with us. We have an advantage in life. We have an advantage over everything that would try to come our way because Holy Spirit is here with us. John 16, let me read it again, verse 7, and I'm going to read it from the Classic Amplified. It says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Holy Spirit came and is here to be in close fellowship with us. He is not distant. He is not far away. He came, and we're going to read the documentation of when he came, to be in close fellowship. We think about that word fellowship, we think about koinonia. It's partnership, communion. Holy Spirit wants to be in close partnership and communion with you every day. It's not like how, you know, in some circles back in the day, they'd be like, Holy Ghost make you leap, Holy Ghost make you jump, and they do all of that. Holy Spirit wants to live within and upon you so that you can fulfill the reason why you were born. Or as like I like to say, the reason why you were sent here. Because you weren't just born because two folks hooked up and because they thought each other looked good. You were sent. So it's to our benefit that we acknowledge Holy Spirit. You know that the last couple of times I taught about the one thing that God said we should do. We should acknowledge Holy Spirit daily before we do anything else, before we say anything. We simply say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for leading me. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for speaking through me. Speak, because your friend is listening. And I'm telling you, listen, I can't describe the level of manifest presence I experience when I say that. I mean, me just saying it, I'm feeling some stuff. But let's look at Acts chapter 1, because I really want you to understand what Holy Spirit gave you and brought to you. He is not a force. You've heard me say this before. He brings the force or the power. Holy Spirit is a gift given. He is a gift given to us by the Father. And then he gave us gifts. You're talking about God being generous. He gave us Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit's like, listen, let me give you some. And the Bible talks about everybody has a, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says that everyone has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, or for the profit withal, how whichever version you read it from. Everybody has been given an expression of Holy Spirit for everyone else to benefit, which means that if you don't function in your gifting, somebody is not benefiting from you. And you are not benefiting. Now, this is not a license to just do your thing without teaching instruction. Because I know some people hear that and they just wild out. I gotta use my gift. But here's the thing with that. See, here's the good thing about Jesus. Well, one of the good things about Jesus, because everything about him is good. Even his toenails are good. So, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. Holy Spirit gives us gifts. But the scripture in Ephesians says when Jesus ascended, now you know Jesus ascended more than once, right? The first time he ascended, Hebrews said he sprinkled blood on the heavenly altar because Mary saw him and he said, don't touch me yet. I have not yet ascended. But then we know after that, which we'll probably get to somewhere in Acts 1 in a minute, where we see that he was alive 40 days and we know they were touching him. Because he let Thomas touch him. We call him Doubting Thomas, but Thomas was like, listen, I'm not basing my life on what you say. I need to have my own encounter. So we don't know if he was doubting, like people call him, or if he wanted to verify with his own experience. See, sometimes we have to have our own experience with God, and we cannot walk by faith based on somebody else's experience. And it's not like you don't trust people, but listen, every decision is a fight of faith. Because you're going to have to walk in faith based upon every decision you make. So you might as well make it having heard from God yourself versus getting mad at somebody else because it don't. Because now the challenges come as a result of the word. And you like, see, if I wouldn't have listened to so-and-so, I wouldn't be in this situation. See, that excuse is eliminated when you allow Holy Spirit to speak to you himself. And now you're in the situation. What you going to say? Holy Spirit, see, I wouldn't be in this if I would. You going to say that to him? Or are you just going to say, thank you for the grace to overcome what I'm walking through as you get the glory out of my life? So Thomas wanted to have his own experience, and so he touched Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to touch him too. And so, but then after that, the scripture says he ascended again. We know in Acts 1, he ascended. He told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father, which is Holy Spirit. The same people who have been sent out and were casting out demons and healing now are told to wait. And they was like, well, what do we need to wait on? See, they had authority, but now they have to wait. They had to wait on more power. And they needed to wait on the helper, the counselor, the paraclete. They had authority, but Jesus says, listen, I gave you authority, but you're not going to do it by yourself. I'm going to give you the helper, the standby, the one who's going to come alongside you. So the scripture in Ephesians said that when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts. So Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Then Jesus gave us gifts to help which develop the gifts that Holy Spirit has given us. Are you seeing, you connecting the dots? Because we've been given gifts, and you can read them in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. And I would submit to you that every gift is a spiritual gift, even though we categorize them differently for our understanding. But anything that came from Holy Spirit is a spiritual supernatural gift. I mean, it is what it is. How it manifests, you know, is how it manifests. But then the scripture says Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. So God gave people. He sent them on specific assignments to be a gift to the body of Christ to help them function and develop and sharpen their gifts. Because a lot of times when we will read Ephesians 6 and it'll say for the work of the ministry, we think it's for volunteering in a church building. How much equipping you need to do the work in the church building? The work of the ministry is walking out your calling, fulfilling your purposes and destiny. So we've been given gifts. God is so generous. Now in Acts 1, this is us receiving Holy Spirit. Because the gateway to functioning in the miraculous is intimacy with Holy Spirit. Try to have some dream or vision or even prophesy without intimate relationship with Holy Spirit is divination. I mean, it is what it is. It's witchcraft. It's divination. Because you're going to move in, or a person who does that will move in either their spirit or demonic spirit. But intimacy with Holy Spirit keeps you out of your own spirit, your own soul. Demons can't come near you. And so you now are operating in total submission to him, to the lordship of Jesus and to the lordship of Holy Spirit. And that's not blasphemy to say that. So in Acts chapter 1, Luke is writing. He said, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, verse 8, I'm going to skip down to verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power," say power, "when Holy Spirit has come upon you." See, the more we nurture relationship with Holy Spirit, the more we get to access the power that he has. It says we shall receive power when Holy Spirit comes. So he comes and gives us power. He places the power on us. Now, what is that power for? We know that word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means to perform. It's the power for performing miracles. So you have received the power to perform miracles. Jesus said, "The things I do, you're going to do in greater." The next part of that is said, "Because I go to the Father," meaning Holy Spirit empowers us to do exactly what Jesus did and greater, not just greater in number, but greater in intensity. Now, let's look at the flip side of that. We'll come back to the power for the miracles in 1 second. But that word dunamis also refers to moral power and excellence of soul. This is why we see some who function in the gifts but fall because their character cannot contain or sustain the assignment. And we see some with the character but deny the power. But the will of God is for us to have the character and the power to demonstrate the kingdom. Because the power of character comes supernaturally by Holy Spirit. See, sometimes in church, we are trying to make ourselves be like Jesus. It's almost like living under the law subconsciously. We're trying to be just right, dress just right, act just right, talk just right. We're trying to do it on our own, not realizing all I have to do is be intimate with Holy Spirit, submit to him shaping me, and not resist it, and I will end up acting and looking just like Jesus. In Corinthians, it says, when we gaze into the glory, we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. See, but what it's like is sometimes in the body of Christ, it's like sometimes they do what my grandson does when he's getting his diaper changed. He's like doing this. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we say, "Lord, I want to be just like you." But then he starts shaping our character. We're like, "No, that's just how I am." If your maturity level is the same as it was in 1995, that means you didn't yield to the work of Holy Spirit. So we have to allow the supernatural ability of Holy Spirit to transform our character. Now, of course, we have a part to play because part of the intimacy is getting in the Word, because we renew our minds with the Word, which is why we need to study, because everything people say online ain't actually true. And everything they teach about Scripture ain't actually true. I saw a post yesterday where somebody said, because they answer Bible questions on the podcast, they are now pastoring. And I'm like, lady, please, can you drink the cup? Because people aspire for positions and platforms but you have to be made. I never saw somebody say, I want to allow the Lord to shape me. I've never seen anybody say, oh, Lord, shake my character. Because it hurts. Nobody wants that part. So, but when God shapes our character supernaturally, then we bear the fruit of the Spirit. See, in Galatians 5, it talks about the works of the flesh, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says the works of the flesh are obvious, meaning you can't miss them. But then it says the fruit of the Spirit will come forth. And it says in verse 16 of Galatians 5, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Meaning the desires may come to you, but you won't execute them because you are so intimate with Holy Spirit that you now access his ability to overcome those desires. And a lot of people think the desires of the flesh is just sinning. But sin in the Hebrew context means missing the mark. So wait a minute. So if I'm walking by my relationship with Holy Spirit, he's going to help me to not do a thing that will cause me to miss the mark. See, we think about, oh, I wanted to tell this person off and I didn't. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, you're good. But did you speak blessing instead of telling them off? Did Holy Spirit give you a word of knowledge? Everybody wants to prophesy. Did he give you a prophetic word? Or did he push you to intercession instead of anger? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Notice it says fruit, singular, not fruits, plural. You know, sometimes in children's church, not here, but in places, they teach on the fruit of the Spirit, and they make it plural. They say fruits, like it's multiple. But it's one fruit. There's multiple dimensions, multi-layered, multifaceted. Fruit is the result of seed. Even in the natural, you want some seed, you want fruit, you have to plant what? Seed. What is the seed? The word. The scripture says we were born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So, Holy Spirit, as we heard before, is the spirit of the word. And because he's the spirit of the word, we allow him to plant it in our hearts. We do the effort of planting it in our hearts, not just on Sundays or Thursdays, but daily. And he makes sure that seed grows and produces fruit. Seeds are planted through intimacy, and seeds are nurtured and watered through intimacy. It is intimacy with Holy Spirit that causes us to supernaturally, truly be like Jesus. Because now our character is like him. Our thoughts become his thoughts. Our ways become his ways because they get revealed to us by Holy Spirit. I know the scripture says your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways. But when God said that, he was telling people to repent. People quote that part without the context. And they disqualify themselves from knowing the thoughts of God and having the ways of God. Why would Moses say, teach me your ways, if we didn't have the capacity to learn and walk in the ways of God? That's why in Corinthians it says Holy Spirit searches those deep things of God and reveals them to us. So then now our character is like Jesus. Then the rest of us can be like Jesus, meaning we don't just look like him, talk like him, but now we demonstrate miracles like him. That same dunamis works miracles, meaning that we can be walking down the street, someone can touch us and get healed, and we can say, who touched me? Meaning like Paul, when it says extraordinary miracles were worked by the hands of Paul, so that he took his sweat towels, basically, and would send them to people when they got healed. We could lay hands on a blanket. We could lay hands on a towel and give it to somebody and they could get healed. Because now we are walking in dunamis. Say dunamis. See, a lot of people are praying for our outpouring and praying for revival, but really we just have to walk in what we have received. Because Acts 1 and 8 says you will receive the power. So people are praying, talking about they want the power to come down. You've already received it. All you have to do is believe you've received it. Mark 11 said if you believe you have received, then you will what? Have it. And so it's so important that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know now people are trying to be seeker friendly. They don't want to pray in tongues online. They don't want to pray in tongues on the microphone. They're apologizing for praying in tongues. I pray in tongues unapologetically. I remember somebody, Pastor Deborah, somebody was talking to me the other day, or a while back, not the other day, and said, you know what? I think it's so courageous that you pray in tongues on LinkedIn. I'm like, what's so courageous about it? I was like, thank you for the compliment, but aren't we supposed to be praying? Aren't we supposed to evangelize these social media spaces? Just because it's a business platform, that means I can't pray in the spirit online? I can't lead somebody to Jesus on a podcast? See, we y'all get what I'm saying? And so it's super important to walk in the power of Holy Spirit and to be filled with him, so much so that when Paul was going to go to Asia, and when he was about to go to Asia in Acts 4, it says that, no, not in Acts 4, I'm sorry, Acts 16, he was about to go to Asia, and in verse 6, it says they were forbidden by Holy Spirit to go to Asia. You can want to go do something for the Lord, and he can be like, nope. And you could be like, well, why not? Souls going to get saved? And he was like, nope. But then as he continued to pray, that no was actually a redirection, because then he saw a vision of the man from Macedonia, and he knew the Lord was saying, go to Macedonia. See, sometimes when the Lord tells you no, it's a redirection. Sometimes when there's a shift and a transition, it's a redirection that the Holy Spirit is taking you in. But we know later in Acts 19, it says while they were passing through Corinth and they came to the upper country of Ephesus, it says they found some disciples, and the first thing he asked them in Acts 19 and 2 is, did you receive Holy Spirit since you believe? Now, how many folks are asking believers, did you receive Holy Spirit today? I know I'm asking it. But how many people are actually asking that question? Most of the time, we stop at, did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The next one is, okay, did you receive Holy Spirit? That should be the next question. And in between there, you can ask them, look, did you get baptized in water? If not, I know a place that would take you there. And so they said, did you receive Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. See, sometimes people have heard of Holy Spirit, but haven't really heard of Holy Spirit. And you could tell by the fruit or the lack of presence that you experience. Then it says this. They say they were baptized by John. Paul then says, listen, he starts explaining. John's baptism was to repentance. And then he told them about Jesus. And then when they heard it, verse 5 says that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. After he baptized them, he laid his hands on them. And it says Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. Now, when we read the rest of that, it says that he was there for 2 years. Look at verse 10 in Acts 19. The scripture says there were 12 people that he baptized in the name of Jesus, and they got filled with Holy Spirit. But then it says, look how interesting this is in Acts 19, verse 10. Thinking about what we said in Acts 16, where Paul wanted to go to Asia but was forbidden. But now he goes to these different, he went to Ephesus, but now he's near Corinth and gets these 12 guys. God uses him to fill them with Holy Spirit. Verse 10 says, this took place for 2 years, meaning he was there for 2 years teaching about the kingdom. And it says, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wait a minute. The place he wanted to go, but God said no at that moment and gave him a redirection, he still ended up preaching to all the people in Asia after he, one, fulfilled the assignment in Ephesus. And then, two, God directed Paul to the point where he could meet these 12 guys and get them filled. What if Paul would have went to Asia when he wanted to go the first time? He might have missed those 12 men. And he may have preached in Asia, but this says all of Asia heard the word. So could it be God could be directing you to help somebody receive Holy Spirit? That you could pray for them to receive, not tell them, say, Jesus 100 times. And so when they get tired of talking, it sound like tongues. I was on my knees one time. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I remember I did that to try to receive Holy Spirit. Didn't work out. My jaws just started hurting. Another time I said Jesus 100 times. I kept losing count. But I got filled. And we're ending. I'm done. I got filled because I was in prayer. The fellowship I attended had prayer every morning. Every weekday morning, the sanctuary was open for prayer. And I went before I had to go to work, because at that time I was working and in school and had Shay. I went for prayer. Now, unfortunately, you know, Pastor Arnez said it earlier about sometimes we miss opportunities for force multiplication by not praying together or coming and watching someone pray instead of actually praying. And sometimes when we say we're going to pray, less people come. It was like that. It was the pastor, his wife, and me, and I think one other person, at 7 in the morning in the sanctuary praying. And I had to go use the restroom. And in this building, the restroom was downstairs. It was one of those setups where the sanctuary was at one level and you had to go downstairs to where the fellowship hall and the restroom was. So I leave prayer, and I'm going to the restroom, handle my business. I'm coming out, walking down the hallway, and the Lord said, say thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you. And before I could get the whole name Jesus out, I started praying in supernatural languages. I was like, so I came back upstairs. I came back in the sanctuary going in. And so I want to tell you that if you don't pray in the Spirit, you need to receive him and pray in the Spirit. And those of you that pray in the Spirit, I want to encourage you with this and challenge you with this. Pray for no less than 30 minutes a day. Just sit in hishakara. Just go in. I mean, you don't have to do the shiver shout thing that sometimes we do, or you don't have to do that. You could just pray. Sometimes in the morning, I'm walking through my house. Even opening my blinds. Petting my pit bull. Hey, Mickey. I come into the sanctuary. With nobody here. I'm turning on lights. Setting up my keyboard. Intimacy is what he's after. Power is the result of intimacy. Miracles, signs, and wonders will be worked through you if you just be intimate with him. We have to want him more than we want the signs. And if you want him more than you want the signs are going to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.